Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness, and this is the Holderness Family Podcast.
Although we may change the name.
Yeah,
we're thinking about changing.
I'm just saying, telling you right now. But right now, it's the Holderness Family Podcast. Sorry. Did I just drop like a truth bomb on people? And now they're like, whoa.
I don't think that's a truth bomb.
No.
That's not a truth
bomb. It's a bigger deal, literally, to us than to anyone else. It's important to us. No one else cares.
Literally no one else. Anyway, remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. A recent review from IU Hoosier fan. This is an absolute must-listen podcast. Kim and Penn's insightful approach to parenting, life, and just being great human is exactly what this world needs. Each week, they explore a topic that inspires thought and leads with honest and positive heart.
People from Indiana are so nice.
They're so nice.
Okay, this is a real bomb right here. We have stepped into the future.
You guys.
You can call us on your telephone and leave us a message.
I mean,
does that sound like the most antiquated thing ever? But I love it.
Yeah, we have gone to 1987.
Yeah, so basically, you call and we're going to say, do you have a question? Do you have something you want to say?
You comment.
Do you have a comment? Do you have a topic? Is there something really that's kind of eating you up that you want to talk about? And we may use your voicemail on this podcast. It's a telephone number. Give us a call at 323-364-3929. We'll leave it somewhere in the notes too. 323-364-3929. Leave your name, your location, and whatever question you want or thought that you have. And we might put it in next week's episode.
So for the introverts like myself, because sometimes like I get my armpit sweat when I have to think about like calling somebody
right.
And think like they might answer.
Yeah, we're not going to talk to
so,
you.
So like, literally I have a phone call I have to make and it's about like my credit card. It has nothing to do
with
anything.
But you don't want to talk to people.
But I don't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
So I've been putting it off. Just know that like we can't even really answer this.
Yeah. I mean, we'll listen to it.
We're going to listen to it.
Actually, we might just listen, like look at the Google Translate that comes
no,
in the
box. I know.
I'm joking. No, we're going to listen to it.
We're going to listen to it. We're going to listen to it. But know that like there won't be the pressure of having to actually have a conversation.
That's a good note, honey.
If that helps you.
Yeah, good note.
Okay, you guys, we are thrilled to introduce our guest this week. She's a stand-up comedian, writer, actor. She is Fortune Feimster.
We're huge fans.
Yes.
Huge fans.
I think we first fell in love with her and her very memorable role in the movie Office Christmas Party. She was the Uber driver.
Yes.
Anyway, hysterical. But you may have seen her. She's a writer and was a panelist on Chelsea Lately or The Mindy Project. She's done guest appearances or written on a ton of your favorite shows. And anytime I see her in a show or a clip online, it's a guaranteed laugh.
Yeah, and she has a hilarious one-hour special now on Netflix called Sweet and Salty, and it was supposed to kind of launch her sold-out stand-up tour about 20 months ago, and I bet you can guess what happened next, right?
Yeah.
COVID. So now, 19 months later, she is hitting the road in her Too Sweet, Too Salty tour. She's actually going to be in our town. And today, like, we learned a lot from her today, including kind of her breakout role from Office Christmas Party, how that scene happened, which is really fascinating.
And I'm always curious when I see somebody that has, let's call it a non-traditional job, right? I think being a comedian and actress is a non-traditional job. What her parents did to kind of help support her, because listen, she came from a small town that where you don't just jet off to LA. Like, that's not really a job option for people in small towns, really. And just kind of what her parents did to kind of help her along the way.
And I want to know more about how North Carolina shaped her, because that was where she was raised. That's where I was raised. And it's like a cool, positive answer.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Welcome to the show, Fortune.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my goodness. We're excited.
Yeah, we're going to freak out on you just for a second.
We're just
here.
A little starstruck.
I'll take it.
Well, so no. One of our favorite things to do is watch Christmas movies. We watch them when it's year not round. Christmas all the time.
Oh, yeah?
So
oh, that's nice.
Well, you stole the show in one of them, on Office Christmas Party. And
oh, I appreciate it.
I literally was like, who is that human being?
Yeah.
And I Googled, and then I found your entire collection. Yeah. You're very prolific.
Hilarious.
Well, thank you.
I also have a sneaking suspicion that that wasn't all on a script. Like, that was just you being you.
None of it was.
What, is that right?
Yeah, none of it was. That movie was such a trip, because I tried out for a different part. I think it was the security guard part. I didn't get it. And they kind of like threw me a bone. They were like, there's this Uber scene and we don't really know what to do with this scene. But do you want it? And I was like, I'm going to be in an Uber with Jennifer Aniston.
Done.
Of course. And I got on set and they were kind of like, how it's written is not really working. But the one important thing of the scene was that I'm supposed to be the one that tells Jennifer that there's an office Christmas party. And that's basically, the whole point of the scene. But they were like, how do we make it funny? So we just started like brainstorming, and my friend Jillian Bell, who's in the movie, we kind of came up with that undercover boss stuff. And then once we got in the car, I just started making fun of her name, Carol. And it became this whole, like, the whole scene was me just talking about Carol being an old timey name, and that became the scene. And then they ended up bringing me back to film the very last scene of the movie.
Right.
When they tested the movie, the scene was so popular that they were like, we need more. And it was all from just us at 2 a.m. on a backstage in Atlanta, riffing on, just improvising and riffing on this name. It was so trippy.
Well, we loved it. And we love your brand of comedy, I have to say. And let's just back up for a second. I think that, so when I was in high school, they gave it like this personality test, and it was supposed to tell you what kind of job you were supposed to have, right? So it came out that I was supposed to be an architect, which would have been terrible, but it was literally like a list of jobs. And I thought, oh, these are just like the only jobs you can have. You can be like a nurse or a teacher or an architect or something like that.
You can do six things.
You can do six things, basically. So was comedy always a career goal for you?
No, not at all. I mean, I grew up in North Carolina. I'm from Belmont, which is right outside of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So it's a small town. It's about 10,000 people. I went to Peace College in Raleigh, small school, about 1,000 people, 1,000 women. And so I was always in a smaller pond, but always happy. Like, I loved growing up in North Carolina, but being from a small town, I didn't think that you could go to Los Angeles. I didn't think you could work in comedy in anything in the entertainment field. It just seemed so it might as well have been Narnia. That's how far removed it seemed from me. So growing up, I like loved Saturday Night Live. I watched all the sketches. I would record it on my VHS and perform the sketches for my, people on my softball team or tennis team. So I have that in me, but certainly not I can make a living doing this. But I ended up moving to LA after college and found improv, and just truly started as a hobby, as a way to make friends, and became a passion. And then my path was very specific from then on out of like, this is what I want to do.
Well, so what was, you went to a small college. What was your major? I'm curious.
Communications.
Okay. Good. Okay. So you didn't stray too far.
Yeah. So, well, it's a small liberal arts college. Now it's co-ed. It was a women's college at the time. you had like five majors to choose from, five or six. So it was like with your job thing of like, oh, which one kind of fits like that scene. I was like, I guess that, but it was really just stemming from not knowing what I wanted to do. So luckily as part of that, it dabbled in everything, which, you know, a little bit of public speaking, PR, theater. So I got to kind of dip my toe in different aspects of communicating, but it ended up being the theater, obviously, that I used the most. But I actually was pretty bad in theater in college. I was not great. I really wasn't. I had this, my accent was even thicker. I was, had terrible stage fright, and we didn't do a lot of comedy, so I didn't really, here I am, this bizarre person, big hair, crazy accent, trying to do like Shakespeare. It just didn't quite.
I would have liked to have seen that. I'm very curious.
I really hope there's a video.
Yeah. I really don't think you would have enjoyed it. You would have been like,
I don't know. I just have a feeling there, you would have been yourself in some way. Like that's really what it all comes back to. You talked about an Office Christmas party. They're like, just be yourself. And then that ended up being not just enough, but stealing the show. Can we talk a little bit more about the South? As someone who's also from there, I have one fun question, then a couple of like more deep questions. First of all, what does it mean when a Southerner says, bless your heart? What is the true meaning?
It's a backhanded thing, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You're going, they tried, but they missed the mark.
But did they try? Know?
We get it all the time.
Or like, oh, they don't know any better kind of thing.
My favorite text back to friends when something is like, when stuff is going sideways, I'm like, bless. Just bless
your heart.
Not even bless your heart. I'm just bless.
Because most Southerners are right on the same page with you. They know exactly what you mean.
Bless.
That's such a Southern thing to not, we don't, like, even in talking crap about someone, we still try to be kind.
Which I honestly would prefer somebody just to tell me you're a terrible person and you look awful. Like, what the outfit you put together is terrible. I'd prefer that than just bless your heart.
I know.
What was it like growing up in the South for you? My family's from a small town as well, and they are the nicest, sweetest, most amazing people, really, at the heart of it. But some of them are a bit set in their ways.
Right. I mean, you know, there's different parts of North Carolina, as you guys know. The town that I'm from, it's right outside of Charlotte, and it's so different from Charlotte. It's a very small town. Everybody knows each other. When I was growing up there, I couldn't wait to leave. I was like, I got to get out of here. It's too small. I don't like that everybody knows everybody's business. I felt very confined there. But in hindsight, you know, you get older, you look back and you go, that was a pretty great place to grow up. People were kind. They looked out for each other. They had manners. You know, if something happened to someone in your family, they were the first people there with food. You know, it's a kind of community that it's hard to find. It's hard to find a place where people are like looking out for each other and being a good neighbor. So now my hometown's really come around. Like, it's this cute place that a lot of people from Charlotte are moving to. It's like really coming to its own. Like, there was nothing when I was growing up. Like, no restaurant wanted to be there. They didn't sell alcohol, so you couldn't get like a decent place. And now that they do sell alcohol, so all these like cute restaurants are downtown. And so I go visit a lot when I can, because I'm like, my hometown's pretty great. So people are still like really nice there. It's gotten bigger, so I don't know as many people there as I used to growing up. It's like doubled in size. But I like being from there because a lot of who I am was instilled in me there. You know, how I treat people. Kindness was always, especially in my family, was taught as being important. Manners, treating people how you want to be treated. So I really am grateful that I had a place like that where people put that as a priority.
This podcast is brought to you by Addy, or flibanserin, the FDA-approved little pink pill for certain premenopausal women frustrated by their low sex drive. Ladies, if you're bothered by your low libido, it could be a medical condition called hypoactive sexual desire disorder, or HSDD. And you're not alone. HSDD affects 1 in 10 premenopausal women. And you have options. Visit addyi.com/yes and schedule an online visit today. Use code YES at checkout to find out if Addy could be good for you for only $10. That's YES at addyi.com. And now, because we have to do disclaimers, but Penn wants to make it fun, here's this.
Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past and have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Period. Your risk of severe blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescription over-the-counter or herbal medications or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching, or trouble breathing. Sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning, at addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
That's code YES at addyi.com. Good job, Ben.
Thanks.
This podcast is also brought to you by BetterHelp.
Penn and I have been very open about our own marriage counseling and how it helped us have a stronger marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, before we had a good marriage, a lot of people have good marriages. We now have a great marriage, thanks to counseling.
I have also gotten help for my anxiety and depression, and it's so important that you talk to someone if you're struggling.
And if you listen to this podcast, we say that all the time. And BetterHelp makes professional counseling accessible, affordable, convenient, so anyone who struggles with life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere.
They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
They don't waste time either. You start communicating in under 48 hours, and you connect in a safe and private online environment.
Start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/holderness. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/holderness. So manners, etiquette, obviously you're a debutante.
Yeah.
Which I...
Not by choice. My mom made me.
So I actually did not grow up in North Carolina. Grew up in Florida, which is like geographically southern, but not the South, really.
It's a whole different
ballgame. That wasn't in my... Right. We also had no money, so like that's just like not something we did. But he...
I was
learned
a two-time marshal.
Today I learned... I don't know what that is. What is a marshal?
It's just you accompany the debutante.
I'm
telling you, it was bonkers. I would love to hear Fortune's experience from this, but you have to be a certain way and act a certain way, and I didn't particularly want to. We had to sing.
Did you have to sing? No.
Like it was a crawl. You know that song, Happy Holidays? No one wanted to sing, but except for me. So like the girls...
Jazz hands all the time.
The girls would be like, Happy Holidays. And the guys would be like, Happy Holidays. And I'd be like, Happy Holidays.
Yeah, and you were
this is why he was invited twice, yes.
Right, yeah, and I got invited back, but
okay, so debutante,
right?
Just real quick, we don't have to dive into it, but not your first choice?
No, because I didn't grow up like that. I was the same way. We were very working class family, blue collar. I hint on it a little bit in my special on Netflix. My mom grew up with a lot of money. Her dad was a very...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Prolific contractor in North Carolina. He built schools and churches and houses all over the state, but he died young. The family lost money through a series of long stories. So by the time I was coming up, there was no money. So my mom had this upbringing of very, like, a debutante type of upbringing, very high society. I'm like watching NASCAR with my dad, eating chicken wings. So that was my life. But my mom, I think, was trying to hold on, you know, have a little piece of that old thing that she grew up with. And so it was, she was like living vicariously through me. I got invited because she was one. And I was like, no way, we don't have the money. It's too expensive. It's too, like, just not my thing. And she was like, you're doing this.
It's your thing now, lady.
So I felt like, you know, a fish out of water. But now as a comedian, obviously it makes for a lot of,
it's all content,
funny,
right?
Funny material. But it was a lot of luncheons, a lot of like learning how to eat properly, which didn't really stick with me.
Yeah.
It was a lot of acting like a lady. It was all about like meeting other debutantes from past decades and thanking them.
It's like Bridgerton. If you've seen Bridgerton,
well,
if
the Duke is there, I'm in.
Yeah, well,
the Duke makes things a lot more fun.
Yeah, I'm straight, and I have feelings for the Duke.
Yes,
I'm just gonna say that right now.
So
he's a hot dude.
Yeah,
dude. Okay, so COVID, I mean, it hit all of us, right? And it forced us to do our jobs differently. Everything, but COVID, dude, you had like suitcases packed, ready to go out on this tour. And but you're out now. So talk to us about this tour.
Yeah, so my Netflix special, Sweet and Salty, came out in late January of 2020. I was so proud of it. I filmed it in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's amazing. It was super funny.
Thank you. And I told a lot of my story and who I am, and it, you know, resonated with people. We ended up putting a tour on sale right away. It sold out like 6 months of theaters. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. That's, you know, you're making that leap from comedy clubs to theaters, which is the goal of most comics. First show is supposed to be, I think, March 11th of 2020. The night before, we have our bags packed. We're ready to go. It's in Michigan. And they were like, nope, we're canceling the weekend. It's, you know, two up in the air, but, you know, we'll reschedule in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
We'll be back. Yeah, all of March, we rescheduled like a month later. And who knew, you know, a year and a half later, I finally picked that tour back up. So it was such a weird feeling to like put it on hold. And you kind of just had to hope that people would want to laugh again at some point. And you know, like everybody, the world stopped. We all just had to figure it out. And yeah, we put it back on sale in the spring and people are showing up. It's incredible. We're adding like third shows, fourth shows. I think people from having a year and a half of stress and fear and all the things that we all went through, death. I mean, you know, it was a tough time. I think people just more than ever just want to laugh.
I can't agree more. And so I did watch the special back in 2020. We're so excited for this tour. But also, I have to ask, like, anytime I come across somebody who's doing what they love, as we're parents and we have a teenager and we have a tweenager. And so
a tweenager.
So I'm always so curious how, I mean, here you are and you Your mother's hilarious, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So what sort of things did your parents instill in you? How did they support you enough to like, oh, I'll go to Los Angeles. I guess right. I'll try this comedy thing, you know, that you were able to take this leap.
We're trying to give parents credit here because we don't feel like we get enough credit, fortunately.
No. I want to know.
I feel like parents don't.
Parents do, but also I'm like, oh, I'm screwing these kids up. Like on the daily, I'm screwing them up. Yeah. So like I'm trying to learn from people who have been successful, what their parents did to support them. What do you think it was?
I mean, I think that, you know, there's no magic formula to, oh, I'm going to set out and do this. I surprised myself. Like, I don't think I ever thought I would, like I said earlier, move to LA or do this. I think you have to, like, instill in your kids, like, the freedom for them to explore different things. Like, does that sound interesting to you? Try it. You know, are you into sports? Are you into theater? Are you into this? Like kind of guiding them to just sort of dip their toe in different things to see what fits. But for me, I think I surprised myself. I surprised my parents. I don't think they thought that I would be doing this. I certainly, like I was funny, but I wasn't the funniest. You kind of have to just give your kids some freedom, I think, to discover the things that sound interesting to them. I mean, I know it was hard for my mom when I said I'm moving to Los Angeles. She was like, that, you know, seems so far away. It's scary. It's a big city. She was definitely like, are you sure? Like, don't you want to go to grad school? Like, it seemed a very unsafe path, like a path of hardship. And it was. I mean, to pursue a dream like this that's really difficult, that a very few people make it in this business, it's got to be hard as a parent to sit back and see your kids struggle. I mean, I had no money for like 9 years out here. Yeah, I had two roommates. Sometimes I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. That's got to be tough as a parent, especially I was very academically oriented. My mom, you know, thought I was going to go to grad school, that I was going to be a lawyer or something like that. And then suddenly your kids like can't pay the bills. You have to probably feel like, where did I go wrong? So I think for her, it just required just that blind, unconditional support of like, if this is what you want to do, you know, we'll support you. But it wasn't until I finally got on TV that I think she excelled and was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe she's gonna be all right.
I hope that she's listening to this. I hope that she's aware that you appreciate her, and that's a great story to hear.
Yeah,
it's easy to say, just to have blind unconditional support. That is really hard to do.
Yeah,
I would imagine, I would think as a parent you want to protect your kids, right? You want to make sure they're secure and happy. But if when you're pursuing a really hard path, a hard dream, like there's only so much you can do.
Well, you've obviously done some of it yourself. You were patient, you were determined, and you got to this point. And I want to talk about how that happened, because comedy comes from so many different places. Mm-hmm. There's musical comedy. There's comedy that comes from tragedy. There's people who are really good actors. There's people who are just inherently funny. There's people who do a good job observing what's around them. Mm-hmm. Where would you say is the main source of your comedy?
I think I'm a big storyteller.
Yeah.
Probably has to do a lot with being Southern. I think that sort of runs in our veins. We're surrounded by so many people in our lives that tell stories. People are very animated. I find that being from the South, you're always like, oh, that person was such a character, you know, when you're growing up, but it's like real people. So we're just growing up with like a lot of exuberance around us. People want to tell you about that thing. You know, let me tell you about what I did at church last week. Even like a story as simple as that was always like an animated thing. So that is definitely where I tend to go, is stories. It's a lot of stories about growing up, about my life, about my journey. I'm not a big setup punchline kind of person.
Yeah.
Because I think my comedy, the stand-up part at least, tends to be more grounded. And then I have another part of my comedy, which is characters and silliness and being very, you know, over the top. So I have both of those things. But at the end of the day, I think the focal point of all of it comes from a positive place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some of your predecessors from the South, I'm sitting here thinking about like the blue collar comedy tour, and it was all kind of the same style. Yours, yours seems so, I mean, I have no, so those guys are funny. Yours seems so much more genuine and steeped in positivity, I will say.
Yeah, it's a feeling of like, I want you to feel better leaving my show than when you got there. That's my main goal of any show that I do, any video I put out. I want you to feel like you got something from it that made you feel good. Because, I mean, to me, that's what comedy is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel good. I'm not there to like, I'm not the comic that's there to make you think or to like talk about politics or divisive stuff or to like dig into the societal things. I'm just like, I want to make you feel happy. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of my comedy stems from.
Well, thank you for what you do, because there are places for those types of comedian who make those kind of, you know, commentaries on what our society is. There's a place for that. But my brain is so overwhelmed with real life right now.
I know. There's so much out there. It's like, it's overwhelming.
I know. And I pay attention to it. But when I turn to my comedy, I want it to be comedy. So thank you very much. Now, so your tour, it's going into 2022, but you're on the road now. Where can people find information? And where can they follow you?
Yeah, I'm going all over the country. FortuneFeemster.com is where my tickets are on sale. I'm doing a bunch of shows in North Carolina in February. Asheville, Charlotte, Durham, and then into South Carolina, into Charleston. So definitely hitting up those southern places. But I'm truly everywhere. This tour is going until probably May or June. If you are into comedy, check it out on my website and see if I'm coming to a city near you.
It's the Too Sweet, Too Salty tour. And also, I know COVID was very hard for everybody, but you had some great news. You got married. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We just celebrated our 1-year wedding anniversary. We Zoomed our families, you know, did it very low key, but they all came out here recently to Palm Springs. We got to have like a belated
wedding
reception kind of thing. So I think that meant a lot to our families to finally get to celebrate with us in person. But it ended up being, you know, in a year like 2020 where everything was so bleak, it ended up being a real just huge highlight for us, and I think made it that much more special.
And also, I have to say, they always say traditionally the first year of marriage is the toughest. But if you could just like take the world out and you didn't have to go anywhere and you just got to be married, that sounds kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were hunkered down together, you know, every day, like most people. That's the person that you're with all day, every day.
And if you can make it through that, I mean, you're good.
Truly, truly. A pandemic is the ultimate test for couples. I saw a lot of people get divorced or break up because it was the first time they had really been around each other without distraction. And for some couples, it was like, no, no, thank you. But, you know, we really love the time together and got through it together and are getting through it together. And yeah, we're very, very happy that we made that next step and got married.
Well, congratulations. That's so special. Thanks.
So before we leave, I know we don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to start a new thing on the podcast.
Oh, we're starting a new thing.
I'm using you as the guinea pig. So it's called Tell Me More. And basically, I'm just going to read some of your recent tweets and you can tell me more about it.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. How's that sound? Okay. This one I'm concerned about because it didn't have an end. It says, trying to buy a toaster oven. Literally every review on Amazon for every toaster is don't buy this toaster. It catches on fire or the glass explodes.
Did you get a toaster?
I finally just got one because every toaster was like, this toaster explodes.
Yeah.
Is that just a thing that toasters do?
I guess.
But then you're like, at what fault was the person? Did they like
put a ham sandwich in there?
Did they treat it as like an oven? It's not an oven.
You have to
are
say,
they trying to make a pot pie in there? What's happening?
Yeah.
My 11-year-old does unplug the toaster. Somebody taught him at some point that it was important to unplug it, and he's obsessed with it. So he unplugs it. So
you just she just mothered up on you there.
We're safe.
Fortune, make sure you unplug your toaster. Okay.
I actually always unplug it as well. I think that's a good
life lesson.
All right, here's another one. What do you think Adam Driver does for fun?
Well, I watched that movie. We went and saw the that latest movie he did.
Yeah, it's pretty tense.
Really bizarre.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. But it is like, it was one of the most insane movies I've ever seen.
So you're trying to imagine him like playing pickleball or something.
Well, he's just such a, as an actor, he's so intense.
Yeah.
He seems very method. He takes on these roles that are very...
Do you think he knits or like something?
He has to have an outlet or something very meditative.
So I'm just like a person that takes on those kind of roles. I'm like, are they silly in real life or is he an intense person always?
Okay, last one.
I don't know.
Last one. My mom once took four of my friends and I to a Frito-Lay warehouse for a private guided tour because she won it in some contest. That's how much people love free stuff. I can't believe four friends said yes. I need to know more about this trip.
So... when I was like 12, there was some sort of like local access channel thing going on where you could call in and like you could bid on things or win things. And she won the a guided tour to a Frito-Lay
factory.
It's like a warehouse where they make chips.
Was it like Willy Wonka's factory? Was it glorious? Yeah,
but with like chips. I mean, it was a warehouse.
I mean,
but with chips.
It sounds ideal.
So I was like thinking about it, like I can't believe that was like I sent invitations to friends, being like, we're going to sample Frito-Lay chips in a warehouse, and I couldn't believe how many people tweeted that like that sounded amazing.
Yeah,
it was cool. Like it was the chips were warm. Like you got to eat the chips as soon as they came out of the oven. And like I remember Sun Chips were kind of like newer on the scene, and
we're still a fan.
We were trying those, and like it was really cool, but also like what a funny thing to be like, hi fellow 12-year-old girls.
You want to come to
who wants to go to a Frito-Lay warehouse?
If I'm in my 40s and I would say yes to that.
Yeah,
I mean now it's like that's the dream, right?
Well,
that'll be the last one. Although I want to say, because I had to go through all your Twitter feeds, my favorite part was that you were really, really helpful to one of your friends who lost their cat. You had like a cutout picture of the cat.
Yeah.
Like you posted like four times until the cat was found. And that was very sweet of you.
It was one of my best friends lost her cat of like 15 years. And, you know, that kind of pet is like your child. So.
Yeah.
She was losing it, and I was like, well, I have a lot of fans in Nashville, and you never know. And actually some of people wrote me back that were like neighbors of hers.
Oh my gosh, so you're a good friend.
You can kind of zone in on places. We're a lot more connected than you realize.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
She found the cat.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, and you did mention that as well. Cat got found.
Yes.
I wasn't even going to bring it up if the cat didn't get found.
Yes.
Cat got found and is good. So thank God.
Well, thank you. You are a joy, and we can't wait to see your show when you come to North Carolina in February.
I'm so excited you're coming. It's going to be such a fun night. I cannot wait. I always love performing in North Carolina, and it was such a treat talking to you guys.
Well, no, you're the very best. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.